Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God, our Father, and our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The prophet Zechariah is likely not a man or a book that you know all that well. Rarely, if ever, is it read on Sunday morning, though I would love to hear it read more often. Hence why we have it today. Zechariah was a prophet after the people of Judah returned from the Babylonian exile around the year 520. His book likely was written a little after that, with a few things in the latter part of the book coming later. A few fun facts about the book of Zechariah before we dive in. Zechariah is the eighth most quoted book of the Old Testament. There are countless allusions to the book as well contained in the New Testament, especially the Gospels. It is the most quoted and alluded book in what's called the Minor Prophets, or the Book of the Twelve. Also, Zechariah gives a beautiful depiction of our Lord Jesus Christ's work of atonement for the sin of the world. And hopefully, as you continue to come, you will hear those beautiful words. Major theme, and maybe the theme in the book of Zechariah, is that of your coming king, the theme for Advent of this year. The king, you know who that is. You just celebrated him this past Sunday, as you do on also Palm Sunday every single year. You actually heard some of the quoted words. Zechariah 9:9, behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he, humble or afflicted and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The king is Yahweh, the Lord himself in the flesh, Jesus Christ. It is he who is coming to be your king. It is he who has zeal and jealousy for his chosen Jerusalem, his chosen possession. When you hear the words of Zechariah 1, verse 14 and following, where he says, I am exceedingly jealous for Jerusalem and Zion. Know and trust that that is Jesus, your Savior, speaking. It is he who is going to bring comfort yet again to the daughter of Zion, his faithful people. Or to use the New Testament language, his church. That's the point of this sermon. Behold the king who is jealous for his people. Perhaps I should talk a little bit about the word jealous, because in today's context, we typically have a different understanding concerning the word jealousy. Perhaps a better translation would have been zealous, and that's equally valid, for it's the same word. The same word is also used in Exodus. When Moses received the Ten Commandments, and the Lord God says there, I am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. The jealousy in English tends to convey envy or selfishness. The Hebrew is kana, and when the Lord is the subject of this verb, it entails not envy or selfishness, but rather the Lord's intense protective concern for what is rightly his own. For remember, it was the Lord God himself who called Israel out of the darkness of Egypt and brought them up with a mighty right arm. It is he who called them to be his people at Mount Sinai. Israel is rightly his. The Lord had claim upon them. No one else. They were the Lord's. And so, he has great intense concern for them. The exile of God's people from Jerusalem came about because of their great sins against their Lord. You know the stories. They chased after other gods. Though the Lord was jealous for his people were not so much for him. And so the Lord used the nation of Babylon, and first Assyria for the northern kingdom, but Babylon for Jerusalem, as his instrument to discipline his chosen for the 70 years. But now in our reading from Zechariah, we learn that the Lord is angry now with Babylon, and his love and favor shines again upon Jerusalem. Perhaps this is something for us to learn concerning our own day. God does chastise us with judgments even now. We don't call them that anymore because we want to say that all of that came, all that stuff has been done upon Jesus. But judgments still come. Think about the signs that are to come before the last day. You'll hear more about this on Sunday, by the way, in Luke 21. Devastating storms, pestilence, being given over to depraved minds. All judgments that can and do affect our world now. Well, we can also see that the Lord does relent. He does show mercy and have compassion for his sinful but beloved people. Comfort will be granted to Zion once again, as promised by the earlier prophet Isaiah. Isaiah prophesies in his 40th chapter, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all of her sins." So the Lord's intense protective concern shows itself towards Jerusalem. His jealousy, his zealousness shows itself forth as he gives them comfort in the promise that he is coming and choosing to dwell in her midst again. "Behold, your king comes, and he is jealous for his people, bringing comfort to you, his chosen." Our second portion of the reading should make every single one of us rejoice. For the king who has chosen us now promises to dwell in our midst. And he does, not by a temple made with hands, but in the very flesh and blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, does he dwell in your midst. And again, out of his great love for his chosen, he will gather us all to himself. He gathers you now when you're called to this altar to receive Christ's body and blood, to eat and to drink for the forgiveness of sins and the strengthening of our faith. We are gathered to Christ's cross, as Jesus said would happen when he would be lifted up between heaven and earth. There, we are brought there as we gather around this altar. We may be a small group, but there is the participation in the body of Christ. And we are united to the greater mystical body of Christ, his church, the universal church, as we commonly confess our faith together. And we have the promise that in the end he will gather us all together to himself, where we shall see him face to face in all of his glorious splendor, and he will wipe every tear from our eyes. When the king comes at the last day, He will silence the naysayers and the scoffers. As the great hymn from the liturgy of St. James says, Christ our God to earth descending, comes our homage to demand. Let all mortal flesh keep silence. Behold the King who is jealous for his people, jealous to save them. Now he comes in grace as well as his mercy, so that we might have his salvation, that we might dwell with him at his table, where he promises to you and to me to come again, to remove at last the enemies of sin and death and Satan forever, that we might dwell with him forevermore in Jerusalem the golden. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit bless you and preserve you unto life everlasting. Amen.